We're going to find out Tuesday whether Pennsylvania voters want to change governors, which means a lot of attention is going to be focused on the state capital. And that's kind of unusual, simply in the sense that even though a lot happens there that affects us, I think it's safe to say most people don't think a lot about the state capital or pay much attention to it day to day. But Mary Wilson does. She's in the Capitol every day and does a great job of covering it for us. She joins me now from Harrisburg to talk about, among other things, the legislature, which has its own way of doing things and which the next governor will have to work with if he's going to get anything done. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dave.
Okay, so if I'm the incoming governor, what do I need to know about how things get done in the state legislature?
The legislature is an equal partner in governing. It's a co-equal branch, and legislators certainly like to be thought of as part of the gang. So a successful governor, I think, tries to make them part of the process as much as possible, and he does that really early on by showing that he's considering their viewpoints, by giving them credit, sometimes even when credit isn't due, and by appearing to be very competent at the process of getting bills through.
Does a governor use carrots and sticks? Does he make deals? Are there times when he can bully?
Absolutely. One of the big changes when Corbett came in is that he didn't want to use a state grant program to grease the wheels. They lowered kind of how much they were going to spend on state grants for economic development, and they said these are not going to be used for favors. You know, people called them walking around money for legislators. What happened was that walking around money, the WAMs, those went elsewhere in the budget process. They didn't completely disappear. But people who know more than I do about the legislative process said that that hurt Governor Corbett's administration. It hurt his ability to get things done because the way this works is you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
If the Republican Party maintains control of both houses of the legislature, that doesn't mean that there might not be changes in the leadership. And we know that's going to happen in the state house, right, Mary? What's happening there?
The Speaker of the State House, Sam Smith, longtime speaker there and very much respected legislator, he's retiring. The majority leader, Mike Terzai, is expected to ascend as speaker. And the big question is who's going to replace him as the majority leader. The interesting thing to me here is that Terzai was never seen as big on deal making, somebody who would get his hands dirty and try to bring people together over an issue just for the sake of getting an issue done. If Terzai didn't believe in it, he wasn't going to, you know, put his back out trying to get it done. Smith was a deal maker. He was really skilled at compromise and the legislative process. So they complemented each other. The question here is, if Terzai's speaker, who is going to become leader, who's going to have caucus support, and will they be as skilled a deal maker as Smith has been?
On the Senate side, the leader is Dominic Pileggi, state senator from Delaware County. Tell us a bit about him and if there's any prospect for change there.
Dominic Pileggi is the relatively moderate Republican out of the Southeast. I'm not sure how many Republican senators are willing to try to block Pileggi's leadership role in the coming session. But it is interesting to me to see that the number of moderate Republicans over in the Senate, I think, is going to continue to dwindle in the next few years. There are a couple seats that are most likely going to go to more conservative Republicans than are there now. So if Pileggi wants to hang on to that top leadership role, I think he's going to have to show those more conservative members of his caucus that he's looking out for their interests as well.
Is there a story, an anecdote, that tells us something about how the legislature works?
You know, the next super long day for me at the Capitol is going to be the governor's budget address when he delivers his policy priorities for the year via his budget proposal. And what happens is the governor strolls down, delivers his speech on the House floor, and then afterward, the halls of the Capitol and all the balconies and every free inch of space is covered by protesters and by people who are spinning you about what was just said. So, you know, this Democratic caucus has a speech on right outside the lieutenant governor's office. And then the Republican majority leader usually has a conference in his office and reporters go up there. And everybody gives you their two cents on, you know, the half hour that you just heard. And it's just a whirl of things, and all it is no, this is what matters, no, this is what matters, no, this is what matters. And 2 months later, it's like, none of that. That was all sound and fury because there's a new budget reality because the revenue didn't come in, or there's an issue and somebody doesn't have the power that they thought they had within their caucus and they can't make a deal on this legislative issue. Politics trumps policy here. That's kind of the way I've seen things work.
Mary Wilson covers the state capitol for public radio stations in Pennsylvania. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.